was thinking about, we watched a documentary on some men in Indonesia, and their job is to walk down into the caldera of a volcano and dig up sulfur and haul it back up on foot. I forget the distance, but it was significant. And they showed one man in particular. He was hauling 80 kilograms, it's 160 plus pounds, mm-hmm. on his shoulders, two baskets with a thing between them, up this hill and then some distance to where they would pay him for it. And he got €8 for that. It's about 10 or 12 bucks maybe. So if you think your job is terrible, you could be doing that job. And the down in that caldera, the gases, there's sulfuric gases, and that's caustic. And they didn't have gas masks. They just wrapped a towel around their face to try to keep some of it out. So anyway, sometimes the Lord has to remind us that we are really blessed. I know that any one of our jobs can get difficult and become drudgery, but sometimes it's good to be reminded that it's pretty easy. I go to work, I drive to work, I sit in a chair most of the time. This week I've been spending a lot of time out in the shop, but I haven't actually done anything useful in the shop. I mean, anything physical. I stand around and tell them what to do, and they disassemble things and assemble things for me as I need. So, yeah, we're blessed. So my thought for today comes from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to read a few verses here in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul speaks in this chapter about some revelations that he had had. And in verse 7 of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, in verse 7, he says this. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And my thought this morning, it has to do with weakness. Now, there's two things, actually, I want to take out of this, because something that really has stuck out to me the last couple of times I've read through this passage is in verse 7. And he says this, and this is one of those things, you know, you read it all your life. I've read these verses many, many times, and it's just recently this has really kind of stuck out to me. But he says this. He says, "There was given to me a thorn." Doesn't seem like the kind of thing you would be grateful for. But given. He acknowledged and recognized that this was from God and it was a gift. One of the meanings of that word is to grant. Again, we don't think of things that way, but God granted, he said, gave me a thorn in the flesh. And I was thinking about, think about Paul in general, I guess. First of all, I think sometimes we get an improper picture of Paul, because and maybe that comes from our childhood, I don't know, but most of us think of Paul as this kind of small, unassuming, weak person. And maybe that's because of some of the things he says, but as I mentioned before, if you read about Saul in the book of Acts, I don't think that's who he was. I think he was a significant person who had not only probably some physical strength, they certainly had strength in himself in terms of what he could accomplish and so on. A well-educated man, as far as we can tell from the things that we read. But when you begin to read this passage and you realize, of course, also, and so I will say this, I don't know when this was exactly written in terms of Paul's lifetime, but, Paul was stoned to death once. And I think after that, you might be a little less strong. You recover from something like that. So there's no doubt in my mind that Paul, as his days went on, the persecutions, the things that he suffered weighed on him physically. But again, and we don't know, by the way, what this thorn in the flesh was. People like to conjecture things. He doesn't specifically say what it is. It was clearly something that caused him grief in a way. It made him weaker in some way, less capable. But he says, it was given to me. And he says, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. God wants us to come to him, by the way, when we have needs. But then he says in verse 9, and he said, this is what God told him. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The society we live in and the world that we live in doesn't, humankind does not typically reward weakness. We reward strength. Those that are strong take and do. And those that are weak just accept. And so it's not a thing that is considered to be really something to strive for, something to want, to desire. But as I thought about what Paul says here, this idea that weakness was better, not because Paul could get more glory from that, but because Christ could get more glory from that. And he says, most gladly, therefore, this is verse 9, by the way, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he says, then am I strong. He's strong when he's weak because his strength comes from the Lord. And the strength then is bringing glory to God. When we are strong in ourselves, well, we get the glory for that, don't we? That's the way mankind thinks. Those that are strong, they take and they get the glory. But when we are weak for Christ's sake, then are we truly strong. There's a lot in the scripture, and I'm gonna come to this eventually. There's a lot in the scripture about being strengthened. And I was thinking about that when we had our thought about being filled with the fullness of God. We talked about having to be emptied for him to fill us, right? I was thinking about these thoughts in the scripture about being strengthened, And in order for us to be strengthened, we first have to be emptied of our own strength. In the scripture, God doesn't speak about strengthening the strong, but he does speak about strengthening the weak and the weary. I'm going to look at a couple more things about Paul before I get too far here. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I think I'll just start in the first verse. I'm going to get down around verse 3 here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He says, "I was with you in weakness," verse 3. And his speech wasn't great. There are some who seek after those who can preach in a mighty way, in their own mighty way, I should say. Because there are many that preach in a mighty way under the Holy, anointing of the Holy Spirit, of course. But, and they seek that. And I don't even remember the details now, but not too long ago, I saw this and I thought it was clear that some were essentially, in a way, idolizing a certain preacher. And I thought about that. They were attributing to a person all the things that he spoke as being wisdom and so on. And nobody was giving the glory to God. Some of the most effective preachers down through the years that I've known, and in general, I think, have been ones that weren't very confident and strong in themselves, but they preached under, again, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they also would never take any glory to themselves for whatever they did. Paul says, "I was weak among you in weakness and fear and trembling." I don't know what he means exactly by the trembling here, but I can kind of get the idea that, you know, if you're not used to speaking in front of people, as a young man at work last week, and he was supposed to give a presentation on Thursday, and I had been working with him. And so I told him, I said, "Man, that sounds really interesting, your presentation." I said, "I'm looking forward to hearing this." And he said, "I don't know." He said, "I hate getting up in front of people and speaking and stuff." And I said, "Look, you have an interesting topic. You know your stuff. Just get up and say it. Don't think about being a bunch of people there." And he did really good, by the way. But you know, sometimes if you're not used to getting up in front of people and speaking, you could probably find yourself trembling a little bit. But I think that Paul, part of his thought here about trembling and fear is a recognition of the amazing responsibility that is involved in giving out the Word of God. It's easy, I suppose, for some people to just get up and speak. Some people have an ease with that. And I'll admit to you that it's easier for me than it used to be. When I first started getting up and speaking, I don't know, I guess maybe you can't see my knees tremble, but I always have butterflies and really, it was difficult. It's easier than it used to be, but it's still not something easy for me. I think about it. But most importantly, my consideration is about what I'm about to do. At work, I get up and I speak all the time to people, and it doesn't bother me, at least, to do that. I don't know why. it's not very important there, I guess, whatever I do. Not of that much importance, but giving out God's word is of utmost importance. And in order for the word to be given out in power, we have to empty ourselves of our own strength and our own ability and let him. Notice in verse 4 of this chapter, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Too many of God's people have missed this point here. That our faith is not based on some fancy and marvelous words by man, but rather in the power of God as we take in his word. The first chapter of this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know these passages are pretty familiar here, but I'm going to go down around verse 27 of this chapter 1. Verse 26 says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen, notice that word there, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things in the of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God uses vessels that recognize their weakness, because that's the only way that he can work. We've had the lessons on the potter and the clay, and you can imagine if the clay is really hard and strong, the potter can't do anything with it. As we saw there, that clay had to be worked into a state where it was pliable and workable, and it wasn't very strong. And of course, at the end, something strong comes out of that, but in order for the potter to work with it, it had to be kind of weak and pliable. But that's what God does. I'm not going to turn to read this, but Jesus made this statement. He says, watch and pray. This was, of course, in the garden. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, he says, but the flesh is weak. And so this brings another thought here, another dimension, which is we tend to rely on our flesh oftentimes. And Jesus says this. He says, the flesh is weak. Now, he's not speaking about physical strength here, because that's not what he was dealing with. See, there was a spiritual battle going on. And spiritually, now we might have plenty of physical strength in us, but spiritually, our flesh is weak. It can attempt to do many things spiritually, but it will not accomplish them because it is weak. And again, I don't want to get too far into this, but in Romans, Paul speaks there about the law. He says it was weak because of the flesh. It couldn't accomplish righteousness, not because the law wasn't good, but because our flesh is weak and can't accomplish that. In 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, I am going to turn and read this. I know this is a really familiar passage, but I just want to kind of look at this passage. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter and verse 6. It says, therefore, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, Paul said this because everybody that he was writing to understood what he was talking about, these earthen vessels. We're not quite as familiar in our time frame because we don't tend to use them that much, but pottery, again, made out of clay, right? Earthen vessels. Even when they're fired, although they're quite a bit stronger when they're fired than they were as just that pliable clay, they're still weak vessels. If you drop it, it breaks. If you hit it too hard, it breaks. Many things will cause it to break. And he says, we have this treasure. What is the treasure, by the way? Notice up above there, the light that has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a treasure, man. He says, it's in earthen vessels. Why? So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, iron vessels, or in our time frame, stainless steel vessels, are very strong. Can withstand a lot. That's not the kind of vessel God puts his glory into. We talked about being filled with his fullness before. Well, you need an earthen vessel for that. Because it's weak. And the power then becomes of God. He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We can't contain the glory of God. The only way it can be poured out into us is when we offer these earthen vessels, weak earthen vessels. In Psalm 6, the psalmist says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. I always appreciated the psalmist. He comes to the Lord and he says, hear me, Lord, for I am poor and needy. And he cries out, he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. And God does have mercy. In Isaiah 40, you know this passage, but he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. It's in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. And I mentioned this before, but you don't find God gives power to the powerful or God gives power to the strong. Whenever it speaks about that, he's always speaking about the weak and the needy. The purpose is that God will be glorified. I spoke to we had a wedding here last night. Not people from our church, but had a wedding here. And I spoke to the man that officiated the wedding. He's a Baptist preacher. He's an evangelist now. And we were talking about some things. And one of them was the fact that we didn't charge for the usage of our church. And I said, you know, the Lord has just blessed us here. And I just told him a few things that, you know, I could think of. And he said, you know, I so appreciate that. He says, so many of God's people don't take the time to give God the glory and to recognize. And I thought, you know, it is important. And somebody actually noticed that. It is important that we remember that God is the one that provides for us. And that we give him the glory. See, the purpose of him strengthening these vessels is so that he can receive the glory. That's why it needs to be an earthen vessel. And that's why weakness is actually good. Because it allows God to show his strength. In Ephesians, the third chapter, which we just had recently, I'm actually going to turn and read that real quick. But in the third chapter, Ephesians, verse 16, this is part of Paul's prayer here. And he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He wants to strengthen us. And then down in verse 20, it speaks about according to the power that worketh in us. But if we're already strong in ourselves, we won't be able to receive his strength. God wants us to empty ourselves of our own strength, to recognize our weakness. By the way, when I say that, you know, empty ourselves of our own strength, that's our own supposed strength, I should say, because we really aren't strong. We might think we are sometimes. But when we can let go of that and just allow God to come in and be the one that strengthens us, then we truly will be strong, and he will be glorified for that. Do we have the ability to do anything today? Well, it comes from his strength. I'm not going to turn and read this, but in Colossians, the first chapter, it says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Paul says, I'm going to rejoice in my weaknesses, because then God can be shown to be strong. In Hebrews 11th chapter, it speaks of those, the faithful in the Old Testament. And verse 34, it says, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. It says, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. How many times in the Old Testament do we find God's people in a position where there's no way they can win? They recognize their lack of strength, and yet God comes in and overcomes for them. One more thought that I had along this line is a weakness that isn't good, and that is weakness of faith. In the 14th chapter of Romans, Paul speaks about him that is weak in the faith. But I also want to notice what he says there. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. If you read that 14th chapter of Romans, you'll realize what Paul is talking about there. We don't want to be weak in faith, but the only way we're going to be strong in faith is how? Yeah, Romans 10:17, I believe it is, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He wants to strengthen our faith, and he wants to strengthen us spiritually. But first we must recognize our weakness spiritually, and then we need to take in God's word so that our strength, our faith, can be strengthened and increased. For those whose faith is strengthened and increased, then we also have a responsibility that's laid out in several different places, but Paul lays it out in several different places, to receive the weak in faith, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to support them. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, what does that really mean? And again, it brought me back to the same thought, which is the Word of God. How are we going to help those that are weak in faith? First of all, our faith needs to be increased, taking in the Word of God. How are we going to help those that are weak in faith? By giving them the Word of God. The idea that somehow, because we're strong in our faith now, that we can just help somebody go get strong in their faith, that's misleading at best. The way we're going to help them, again, is through the Word of God. What does God's Word say? If somebody wants their faith to be increased, we can help. We can support. We can be there for them. But it has to be God's Word. It's easy to say, well, just believe. Well, have faith. Well, God's Word is very clear where that faith comes from and how it increases. And so we need to get into God's word. Now, I do want to say this about that. Our testimony of God's working in our life also helps increase the faith of others, because it's expounding on God's faithfulness. That's what it's about. And so don't shy away from giving your testimony, from talking about what God has done in your life. It will help others. Weakness is not a thing, again, that the world considers to be good. And because of that, often as God's people, I think many of God's people miss out because they want to follow that thinking of the world, that we need to just be strong. And they miss out on the true strength that God brings to our lives when we recognize that we're weak. God is able to strengthen us. He's able to lift us up, support us. But he is the one that gets the glory. So if we have ever done anything, if God enables us to do something, we should say that. By God's grace, by God's enablement, we were able to do this. And that goes for everything in our lives. Are we able to do something good? That's God's enablement. He should get the glory for that. I saw an interview of a man. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, to be honest. He knows Scripture, and he certainly believes in God. But the man that was interviewing him, he said, "You're such a good man." And he said, "You don't know what I know." He said, "I am not a good man." He said, "I have seen how evil I can be." I thought that was interesting, because we do that, right? Oh, you're such a good person. Now, he didn't go so far as to give God the glory for whatever it was, but it just reminded me that if we've done anything good, if somebody says you're a good person, just remember, no, I'm just God's child, and the life of Christ in me, that's good. That's good. It's his strength and his enablement. Any questions or comments when I finish up here?